Got anything else? Amen. We'll keep it waiting for Sunday. Okay, well, let's get started. Let's look at a few things. Amen. We'll be cognizant of our time. We won't be too long. Amen. I want to give glory to God for open doors. First Lady was at the governor's mansion today. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How is it being an advisor of the governor? I'm joking. They just needed some help, y'all, with the fiscal, financials of the state, so they call in the First Lady. I'm joking, y'all. She went to a First Lady's meeting, amen, out there and met with the First Lady, amen, of our state. And so it's just an honor. We if you don't see it, sense it, feel it, amen. It's an open heaven right now, y'all. And if you're not setting your hands to do anything right now, amen, you're going to miss it, all right? It's a time of blessing. Put your hands on something. Get involved in something. I don't care if you plant your fig tree outside. Do something. And what I'm saying is you're going to see that tree blossom. Everything you touch right now. Everything you touch right now. You listen to me now. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Get on board. All right? If you got some issues in your heart, deal with that. Get that out of the way. Don't let your blessings be stopped up. Because you're out of position. It's the season right now. All right? All right? If you're not on one accord with your wife, your husband, with the church, with pastor, for lady, get in one accord, get in harmony, get in peace. You know what I'm saying? Get under the covering, like one of them boys was saying, because it's flowing right now. Y'all believe me? I don't know if y'all, but Duck, I don't know if they believe me or not, Duck. You believe me? Man, it's a supernatural thing going on right now. All right? All right? Who want the open heaven tonight? Oh, God, please. God, please. Deal with whatever you got to deal with God. Deal with whatever you got to deal with God. No grudges, no bitterness, no beef, no problems. Like, look, God, I just want to get under the covering, God. It's raining, and I want to get soaking wet too, God. We are under an open heaven. Carlos better not come up here, man. Hebrews 10:11. Come on, look at it with me. Babe, you got anything else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10:11. Hallelujah. He's doing some things, man, for his people right now, man. It's just amazing, man. Get in line. Hallelujah. Don't even be tripping about it. We not the people. Amen. Hallelujah. For these blessings, go ahead and act like you believe we the people to get what's happening. Oh, God, have mercy. God, what you doing right now? What you doing right now? What you doing right now? Just don't miss it. Just don't miss it. Just don't miss it. 10:11. I said that already. All right. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that, he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for the blessing of the new covenant. Be with us as we go over these verses, God, as we move through this book of Hebrews to solidify your people in the faith. Bind the enemy out. Loose your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints of God, we've been in this book of Hebrews, amen, and we just about done. And so we just handling some large swaths of scripture, amen. And the book of Hebrews is unique because it solidifies, amen, the people of God in the new covenant. We know that, hallelujah, being Hebrews, we are tempted to go back to the law. We see it all the time, amen. But, hallelujah, as we look at the scriptures, amen, we are convinced, amen, that those who really belong to God not going to follow nobody else but God. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. And we also are assured, amen, that those who are his, amen, even though they wander a little bit, they always going to come back to the gospel. Amen. Because he don't lose anything that's his. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. So you got to watch me, amen. I trust in God sometimes a little bit too much, amen, because I'm not the Holy Ghost, amen. I don't strong arm people to stay somewhere, amen. I give them the word, and I let the word do the work. Anybody hear me up in here, amen? And so this word in the book of Hebrews is just for that. It's a word, amen, given to us specifically, hallelujah, by God to keep us in the faith, amen, to keep us away from going back to the law, the rigors of the old covenant, amen. And so we've been talking about that. And so tonight we're going to continue in chapter 10. And if you remember, we covered verses 1 through 10, and it was all about the law. And it said that the law was just a shadow. We said that the law, amen, could not make us perfect. We said that the law only reminded us of sin. It could not cure us of it. It was like the proverbial speed limit sign that only tells you when you're breaking the law. It can't do anything to stop you, anything to change your course of action. That was the law. It was just for information purposes. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, and that is all. We also talked about that the law in the old covenant only had the blood of animals. Amen. And the blood of animals could only get us so far because it wasn't animals that sinned against the Most High. It was mankind that sinned against Most High. And listen to me, the way justice works, amen, hallelujah, if man did the wrong, amen, if man did the crime, amen, then the punishment had to be upon a man. It had to be the blood of a man that would cure us ultimately of our sin sickness. And so that's what verses 1 through 10 was all about. I want to look at verses 11 through 20 with you tonight if we have the time. And I'm going to just kind of move through. Amen. And I'm going to have probably about 4 or 5 points tonight. Amen. Just depending upon our time. If we can't do it, I'm going to do 3. But I'm going to stop at a certain point. Amen. And so listen, let's begin. Amen. I guess, Brent, the title of this message could be, amen, just the continuation of our last one, amen, which I think was like greater or whatever. And so you can do like greater part 3 or part 4. But the first point I want to cover with you is one sacrifice forever. We're seeing, amen, the writer of Hebrews go from the new covenant, describing the old covenant and its deficiencies, and now he's going to go right back to the new covenant, amen. And he's really laying out a sound argument for the people of God. Over and over again, he's hitting these issues once, twice, 3 times, amen, because he wants to, amen, drill into the people of God the blessing of us being in the new covenant and in the New Testament. And I don't feel bad about talking about this. And I don't feel bad about if you learned it the first time, amen, because sometimes you got to be reminded of some things. Amen. I don't want nobody in this church coming up to me and talking about they going back to the law. They going back to the Sabbath. They going back to the feasts and the festivals. When you know your Bible, specifically the book of Hebrews, this thing is clear. Amen. And so we're going to go until we finish this book. Amen. so that us and our children would never, ever, ever go back to a place where God has already left. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So one sacrifice forever. It comes from verse 11, and it says, "And every priest, old covenant priest, standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins." All right? And again, he's talking about how the old covenant priests went into the old temple. Hallelujah. They went in daily and they made many offerings, y'all, many sacrifices. But none of those sacrifices could save the people of God from their sins. You see? In verse 12, it continues. It says, "But this man," he's going to make a little comparison. He's going straight to the new covenant. Hallelujah. He says, "But this man," who y'all think he's talking about? Give me his Hebrew name. Anybody can give me his name? Yahshua. He said, "But this man, Yahshua." You see? Yahshua. Yahshua Jesus, this man, after he had offered how many? One sacrifice. For what? For sins. How long? Forever. He sat down on the right hand of God. You see, Jesus offered one sacrifice, and that's talking about the cross of Calvary, his atoning work, his suffering, his passion, amen, on the cross. That one sacrifice, amen, dying for our sins, amen, didn't just cover us for a day, a week, a month, a year. Didn't cover your life for 20 years, didn't cover your life for 50 years, didn't cover you even for 60 years. That death, that sacrifice covers you how long? Forever. That's what you got to understand. All right? Is one sacrifice forever. And as I was thinking upon this, amen, I thought about something that we used to do, amen, when I was in the Catholic Church. All right? God just dropped that in my spirit. Amen. He told me, he said, "You remember the Eucharist? Huh? The Eucharist?" I said, "Boy, that's a big word, the Eucharist." All right? Well, all the Eucharist is a fancy word for communion. All right? That's all it is. The same way we come and we have the Lord's Supper. Amen. The first Sunday of the month. Amen. Where we commune together and we remember his body and his blood that was shed for us on Calvary. That's the Eucharist, y'all. Somebody say communion. Amen. All right, so they got a different name on it. But the Eucharist, amen, when I was a Catholic, amen, how many people was Catholics up in here? Amen. How many people still Catholic? I'm just joking. Don't raise your hand. I know you're coming up in here, you're sneaking in here, so don't raise your hand. All right, you'd be surprised. We got nuns and priests coming in. Listen, y'all laughing. But the Eucharist, amen, the Catholic Church teaches, and I was born and raised, did my confirmation, everything, you know, they teach that the Eucharist, amen, it actually the body and blood of Christ is contained in the Eucharist, offered in the Eucharist, and received in the Eucharist, all right? That every time they have Mass, every time they celebrate Mass, that the body of Christ and his blood is literally, amen, transformed in that communion ceremony. That the priest says this magical incantation, and that bread turns into the flesh of Christ. And that wine turns into the blood of Christ. And that's what it means when it says that, hallelujah, the body and blood is contained. But not only contained, watch this, Brother Harvey, the Eucharist teaches that it is offered. So when you study the depths, amen, of Catholicism, every Sunday they offer Christ up as a sacrifice, all right? Every Sunday, every Mass, because his body and his blood is there, is contained in there, is offered. Now, if you want to know a big word, and it's also received, if you want to know a big word that describes the transformation of the communion from bread to flesh and the wine to blood is called transubstantiation. All right? Say that with me. Transubstantiation. Don't name any of your kids that. All right? That's not a good thing. Shalom, to tell him I'm right, all right? You know? And I'm going to tell you right now, all right? And the Lord put it on my heart because I want to teach y'all truth up in here, all right? All right? This teaching on the Eucharist is wrong, all right? This teaching of transubstantiation is false, amen? Because it don't matter what a man or a priest say over bread, it does not turn to the body of Christ, all right? What he say over wine, it don't turn to the blood of Christ, all right? The communion don't contain the actual body and blood of Christ. Pastor, how you know? Because I know where his body is. Anybody hear me up in here? His body is seated at the right hand of majesty. Are you with me here so far? Okay? Second reason I know, amen, is because, amen, of this whole offering thing, right? That every Sunday, the Mass, which means body, amen, hallelujah, which means body, amen, hallelujah, the whole name it surrounds this ceremony, amen, this pagan ceremony, amen, of the body and blood being transformed so that he could be offered again as a sacrifice. Now go back to our scripture. How many times does God say Christ had to be offered? Not every Sunday. Woo! That's why you got some in false doctrine. And so they go to church just for communion. They feel like they have to have it. Because when they have it, they take it, they feel like it's some kind of medicine that when they take, it washes away their sins. You found yourself slipping into a works-based salvation, where salvation depends upon you running in and performing the sacrament. That's works. Communion don't save us. Eucharist don't save us. The cross of Calvary saves us. Amen? And it was one sacrifice offered. How long? Forever. All right? All right? You say, Pastor, why are you talking about that? Because the people of God need to know the truth. The people of God need to know the truth. If I don't tell you the truth, who's going to tell you the truth? All right? Second point. Conquered his enemies forever. All right? As we get to verse 13, it says, from henceforth, hallelujah, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. It's still talking about the new covenant, and it's still talking about Christ. The first point told us that he was offered once, no matter what other churches say. Amen. He was offered once, and that's all we needed. But secondly, is going to teach us that with that one offering, he conquered his enemies. How long? Forever. All right? That one sacrifice, y'all, destroyed the enemies of Christ. And one of the commentators said, you know, to say that Christ have enemies is an amazing thing. Ain't nobody loving like him. Nobody forgiving and healing like him. But Jesus still got enemies, y'all. Isn't that something? Now just imagine us, huh? We surprised when we got enemies. Newsflash, Jesus got enemies. Anybody hear me? And if Jesus got enemies, you're going to have enemies too. All right? Pastor, who are the enemies of Jesus? Huh? I'm glad you asked. There's a list of them, y'all. All right? The enemies of Jesus would include, number one, the world, y'all. The world is an enemy of Jesus. The world that we're living in, the system, its laws, its morals, its norms, its philosophies, amen. What they put on TV, the styles, the trends, amen. Hallelujah, help me out, sound booth. Hallelujah. All these things, that whole system is the enemy of Christ. In fact, the world is under the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why you got to watch your children so close, y'all. That's why you got to, amen, monitor what they watch and monitor what they listen to, because the world is trying to seep into your family. It's trying to seep into your house, amen. And all the technology that we got, y'all, is just windows to the world. Anybody hear me up in here? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, close your windows. The windows of the world. Yeah. Because the world is an enemy of Christ. All right? The world is an enemy of Christ. Hallelujah. And the world is pushing our children to do everything that Christ say don't do. All right? And the funny thing about it, when you're in the world, you can't even tell that you're marching to the beat of the world. You can't even tell. You can't even tell because you're just doing you and you're doing what everybody else doing. Amen. You're doing you and you. Listen, you're doing the sexual immorality. You're doing the perversion. You're doing the drinking. You're doing the drugging. You're doing the music. You're doing the movies. You're doing everything that the world is doing. You're doing the divorces that the world is doing. You're doing the homosexuality that the world. Everything that the world is doing, you're doing the world. But if you're in the world, you can't even tell. You can't even tell. You can't even tell. You know? And it ain't nothing new. How many of us was in the world and didn't know we was in the world? Listen, I was in the world. All right? All right? I was doing the world so hard, a few people could do the world like I could do the world. You hear me up in here? All right? But sometimes you could be in a situation and not know you're in it. You think that fish know they in a bowl? That's how we are in the world. We like, ooh, I'm living large. You just in a bowl, dog. You in a bowl. And those on us on the outside, we looking in the bowl, and we saying, you just doing what the bowl do, man. And people that's in the bowl say, I'm a leader. I'm doing me. You ain't doing you. You no leader. You're doing everything everybody else doing. You're doing everything. You listen, you doing what they telling you to do. You ain't no leader. What a leader is somebody that's going to say, I'm not doing what y'all putting on that TV. I'm not doing what y'all putting in that radio. I'm not doing, amen, what all the talk shows doing. I'm not doing that. That's a leader. That's a leader. When you march to the beat of a different drummer. When you're the salt of the earth. When you're the light of the earth. Listen, the world is the enemy of God. That's why God says, love not the world, nor the things that's in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, is of the world. And the world passeth away, and all the lust thereof. What he's saying in a nice way is the world is going to hell. And everybody that's a part of it, linked up to it, chained up with it, dancing with it, doing whatever it's doing, is going to hell with it. All right? And it's not a hard saying, because in the end, God going to give everybody just what they want. You either want him or you want the world, and you can't have both. He said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. I'm trying to tell you that Christ's enemies, one of them is the world tonight, and you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Listen, when we was growing up and we had friends, amen, listen, hallelujah. If you was friend with somebody, amen, hallelujah, listen, your enemy would be their enemy. You understand what I'm saying? Are you with me here so far? All right? And Christ is just asking for the same loyalty from you. How in the world are you going to love me, amen, and love my enemy? You see? Jesus said a man can't have what? Two masters. Either he's going to love the one or hate the other one. We got Christians in love with the world, y'all. Man, I'm just going off, babe. Can I just go off for a second? Oh, yeah, they're winning Grammys these days. All right? But you don't know what they got to give up to get them Grammys. You don't know what they got to say on national TV. They'll ask them, is this right or is this wrong? Well, I can't say. What do you mean you can't say? Let God be true and every man be a liar. We know what's right and what's wrong. But they want to bring them on Ellen's show and let Ellen boot up on a believer. Nah, dog. Nah. That's the world, man. That's the world. All right? That's the world. All right? So listen to me right here, right now. Stop wanting to be famous in their system. All right? All right? You see that small thinking. Why would you want to be famous in their system? Why not just start our own godly system? You understand what I'm saying? Just start our own godly system. All right? We start our own record companies and our own movies and our own this and our own that. Who the people? Then why we can't? Worrying about them people. start our own talk shows. The world, man. The world, dog. The world. And it's an enemy of God. And that world is on that TV, is in them schools. That world is on your job, amen. That world, bruh. And if you're not careful, believer, that world is going to rock you to bed. It's going to rock you clean to bed. You'll be compromising, doing all kinds of stuff. And not just you. If you're not careful, that world is going to baptize and christen your children. They're going to be disciples of that world and not disciples of Christ. You got to be careful. Listen, I'm about to go. Yeah, I'm about to. Listen, you have to be radical about this thing. All right? You got to be radical about this thing. You know? One of the greatest compliments, some of the members of the church told me, they say, Pastor, they say, listen, we watching the way y'all doing, Grace and Annalise and Omar. We watching it. And where y'all move, we going to move to. What y'all do, we gonna do too. You see? See, a lot of people watching how we raise ours, but they laughing. But they laughing. They saying we doing too much. All right? All right? But if you know how I operate, and you know that God's speaking to me, and you know that, hallelujah, that he leading me, why, and you're following me in other things, why wouldn't you follow me in that? All right? All right? So I say watch them phones. I say watch the movies. I say, you know what I'm saying, don't do this. And when I look, amen, you're doing the exact opposite of what I said. So a few years pass, amen, now your daughter fornicating. A few years pass, and now your son, he cutting up. And then you won't look at me and say, man, Pastor, it's not working. Negro, please. It's not working. How is it not working? You got the world, you got the wind of the world up. How is it not working? How it's not working? How it's not working? Pastor, why are you booting up on me? No, I'm trying to be real with you, man. Listen, man, follow me as I follow Christ. If I stop following Christ, stop following me. But follow me as I follow Christ. I ain't making this stuff up. I'm trying to do this by the book, man. The world is the enemy of God, man. And you got to stay away from it, man. There's a certain way you got to operate with it. And there's a certain way you got to raise your children in it. Now, some of y'all convicted, y'all saying, Lord, my children too old. I got good news. Start on your grandchildren. Start on them, man. Start on them. And don't worry about what people say. And family gonna come, I'm gonna buy them their phone. I never asked you to buy them a phone. Family gonna come, I'm gonna watch them and have them watching all kind of movies. Nah, bro. That ain't happening, bro. If I can't look at your life and see the standards of Christ in your life, why would I drop my kids to your house? Why would I do that? Why? Because the inconvenience, nah, they coming with me. Coming with me, dog. Why would I drop them to your house when you can't even live the law of Christ, the way of the Bible in your own personal life? How you gonna train my kids? The Holy Ghost telling me to prophesy right now. So I'm just gonna just forget about this. A lot of y'all dropping y'all children off to people who raise y'all ratchet. And y'all doing it for convenience. And the same people that mess y'all up, gonna mess them up. If you don't see a break in their life, a darkness to light experience in their life, then what you giving them your kids for? They're going to get the world, man. Man, listen, I'm serious about this. You know that I'll get in an argument for somebody over my kid? Like if I'm trying to tell them something, you know our family but in your business. I check them right quick, yeah, y'all. My mama not here, huh? Listen, man. I check them right quick, man. Man, don't tell me how to raise mine, man. And the funny thing about it, the one of the people that want to tell you how to raise those, when you look at this, I'd be like, before you counsel me on how to raise mine, follow me, Ken. You see, you that generation, Ken. God gave me a word one day, man. I said, sometimes I come up here, God, and I'm pouring out my soul, but they picking what they want, God. They picking what they want. They listen a little bit, but then they don't. He says, all right. He said, but they children. I said, but Pastor, I'm watching. I said, God, I'm watching them make mistakes with their children. He said, that's all right. He said, because that generation's still going to be better than them. He said, wait. He said, a shepherd work don't really show until the next generation. I say, my God. So I'm like the farmer. I must plant, but I gotta wait a while before I see the harvest. You know? I want to challenge you, man. And I don't know. I'm just going in. I got a whole bunch of notes, but I'm just going in because listen, man, keep them from the world, man. The world is an enemy of Christ. And listen, it's gonna be real soon that all of his enemies are going to be dealt with. That's what this verse is about. He about to deal with his enemies, y'all. He really is. Pastor, what's the other enemies of Christ? The other enemy, amen, is Satan. Amen. Satan, of course, is the adversary of our God. We know that. I ain't got to give you no scriptures for that. He's the fallen rogue angel. He's trying to undo everything God's trying to do. You see? Lost mankind is also the enemy of God. If you lost and you're not saved, guess what? You're an enemy of the Lord. Amen. You're not on his side because while he's trying to spread holiness, while he's trying to spread righteousness, you're trying to spread unrighteousness. And it's not that I'm trying to single you out. We all was enemies of God. Anybody hear me up in here? And the problem with being an enemy of God, most of the time you're an enemy and you don't know you're an enemy. But if you just look at what you're doing, if you look at how you're acting, if you look at what you're saying, you ain't no enemy. I mean, you ain't no friend. You're an enemy. Jesus said, if you don't gather with me, then you scattering abroad. If you're not for me, you're against me. You see? When we lost, we enemies of the Most High. What else, Pastor? Sin is the enemy of Jesus. Death is the enemy of Jesus. You say, Pastor, why is sin and death? Because he come to bring life and life more abundantly. Our God is all about life. He's not about death. All right? The enemy come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the enemies of Christ. Well, what the verse tell us, Pastor, watch this. You see, what we read in our Bible and learn is that Yahshua conquered all of his enemies already, y'all. Now, we don't see the manifestation of the conquering, but it's already done. It's kind of like I told you at the altar about your healing, all right? Sometimes things can be done in the spiritual, but take a little while to manifest in the natural, all right? But you got to believe. You got to believe, all right? But not just with your healing, but believe that the devil is already a conquered foe. Believe that the world is already conquered. Believe that sin had already been dealt with. Debt had already been dealt with. Lost mankind and their system has already been dealt with, y'all. All right? I heard one preacher say it like this. Amen. The Lord done decapitated the snake. But sometimes you could decapitate a snake and it still move. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? That's what's going on with the enemies of the Lord right now, y'all. Amen. This is just rigor mortis. This is just movement after receiving the mortal blow. All right? This is what's going on. Colossians 2:14 tells us, amen, that the Lord, that he blotted out, amen, the ordinances that was against us. Amen. I don't know. Oh, there they go. He blotted out the ordinances that was against us. Amen. Which was contrary to us and took it away, nailed it on the cross. That's all the law of the old covenant. All of our sins, he take it away when we come to him. And he put it on his cross in verse 15. Watch this. That's how he dealt with sin. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers. The principalities and powers is the devil's kingdom. What does it mean when he spoiled him? It's to go into the devil's house and take back what he stole from us. He spoiled principalities and powers. What did he do? He made a show of them. Where? Openly. How did he do it? Triumphing over them. You see, the devil is already conquered, y'all. He's already defeated. All right? Pastor, why you bring this up? Look at your scripture again. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his what? His footstool. All right? They already conquered. So right now, he just waiting. And he waiting until what we call in seminary the consummation of his victory. All right? In Roman times, amen, when a battle was won, the conqueror, the leader, when the other army was, hallelujah, vanquished, the conqueror would come through riding. Guess on what? What color horse? A white horse. He would come through on a white horse, and that let the enemy and all the soldiers know that victory was secure. Let me tell you something. A day is coming real soon when our Savior, Yahshua Jesus, is going to ride through on his white horse, amen, during the consummation. The beast and the false prophet going to be taken, thrown into the lake of fire, amen. That's when he going to deal with sin. He going to deal with the sting of sin, which is death, amen. He going to destroy it all in victory, y'all, amen. And when it says that, it's going to all be his footstool, look at Philippians 2:9. Philippians 2:9 says this, talking about Christ. God had highly exalted him, given him a name above every name. Go to 10. Hallelujah. That at the name of what? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Bow of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Come on, give God some glory for that. You see, a footstool is where your feet at. And what he's saying is that all of these enemies that I just named, put the enemies back up on the screen sound booth, all those enemies that we just named, going to have to bow down before his foot. All right? Going to have to bow down before his foot. Every single one of them. I'm talking about the whole world system, Satan, lost mankind, sin, and death. All right? This is why we tell people to get saved right now. This is why we tell people to bow down to Jesus right now. You see? Because the truth of the matter is, whoever you are in here, you will bow to Jesus. All right? All right? You're going to bow to him. You're going to bow to him willingly or unwillingly. You're going to bow to him, amen, consciously. Hey, God, listen, every knee gonna bow, y'all. All right? And it not only said on earth, no, so it's not just lost mankind, but the day gonna come where we all there on thrones judging with the Lord, and we gonna see Lucifer himself come up to that throne. We gonna see the rogue angel himself. Listen to me good now as I move into the spirit. All right? And all of heaven gonna see that angel. Who was the dread of all mankind. All right? And on that day, that angel himself gonna fold up his wings. The dragon himself gonna fold up. Listen, every knee gonna bow. Every knee gonna bow. Every single one of them. Every single one of them gonna bow to Yahshua Jesus. All right? Come on, give him some glory. Amen. All right? Listen, I'm going to cover point three, and that's going to be it. We're going to get out of here real fast, amen? So listen, we talked about point number one, hallelujah, one sacrifice forever. Point number two, conquered his enemies forever. But we also want to look at perfected us forever, and then we're going to stop, all right? In verse 14, look what it says. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Real short point. John MacArthur says about this verse that this verse is just reminding us of our eternal perfection. Somebody say eternal perfection. All right? Look what it says in the verse. For by one offering, that's the cross, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. All right? I love this, y'all. It means that in the eyes of God, you perfect. We covered that already. All right? But what I need to tell you is that once you accept Christ, you're not only perfect in the eyes of God for a day or for a month. You're perfect how long? Forever. Most people can't handle what I just said. Because in reality, we know that we're not. In reality, we know we have good days and bad days. In reality, we know we think the wrong things. We say the wrong things. We sometimes even do the wrong things. But what you need to know about the power of the blood tonight is that once the blood is on you, in the eyes of God, you are perfect forever. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about here. He don't look at your past sins. He's not even looking at your present sins. He's not even looking at your future sins no more. He said, you're perfect. How long? Oh, you got to understand what I'm saying here. I'm going to the depths of salvation right here. Once you get this gospel, and once the Lord saves you, listen, in his eyes, you're perfect forever, yeah. Listen, it ain't no going back, no. It ain't no losing that perfection, no. It ain't no you trying to work to prove yourself to God, to keep it, to get it. It's not like that. You either have the righteousness of Christ on you or you don't. It's either all his righteousness or it's not. Salvation really ain't got nothing to do with you tonight. You ain't started it and you for sure ain't gonna finish it. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? He chose you before the foundation of the world. He came down, died for your sins. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He showed you the gospel, gave you his spirit so you can understand the gospel. He opened your eyes by giving you the faith to believe in the gospel. And when you believed in the gospel, he sent down his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. He saved you. He washed you. You ain't did nothing. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And once you get this thing and you get washed in the blood, he tells you that you are perfected. How long? Forever. Oh, man, listen, man. Them new churches ain't preaching this. They telling their people they in and out of salvation. They losing it and all this stuff. That's not the way salvation is. That's not the way salvation is. You say, Pastor, you can't preach that. Because some people are going to get up and get out of here and live like the devil because they've been perfected forever. So listen, they're going to go get drunk. They're going to go and run. You don't know the whole gospel, my friend. You don't know the whole gospel, my friend. The child of God can't do that. Child of God can't go out and live any old kind of way. We can't do it. Some have tried after salvation to go out and live any old kind of way, to leave church and to leave the Bible and to leave Christ. Some have tried. Some have got their Jonah on. But you got to get to the end of the story of Jonah. Listen to me good. Next time I'm going to come and I'm going to talk about this new covenant. It's going to be my next point. And I'm going to talk about the job that the Lord do on us on the inside with that new covenant. He going to pull from Jeremiah 31. We're going to talk about it where he say, I'm going to write my laws in your hearts. And I'm going to put them in your mind. All right? All right? This is the only way a church can understand this perfected forever. It's the only way. It's the only way. Because the true child of God ain't going back. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. I'm a new creature. He did it, and the devil can't undo it. You understand what I'm saying? You see? And we gonna get into it next time. But in seminary, what this is called is eternal security. It's when you know you're in the hands of God and nobody could pluck you out of it. It's when you know that neither life nor death no angel, no principality, no things present, no things to come. No things in heaven or things on earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. His grip is too strong. You say, Pastor, but what about those that come to the altar and get saved and they do go out and they run wild and they never come back? The Bible says they went out from us because they was never of us. For had they been of us, they would have never really went out of us. See? Because all that are his, ultimately, they will believe. And all that are his will hear his voice. And all that are his will follow his voice. And they can fight the voice all they want. They can go in the world all they want. They can play the prodigal all they want. But a day is going to come when from heaven on high, God will look down from the glassy sea. And he's going to say, come, my son, come out of that sin. Come out of the strange country. Leave the strange women. Get your mouth out of that slop and come home, my son. For you don't belong there and that was never you. Listen to me. Do you know what kind of salvation we have tonight? Do you know how much this God loves you? Do you know how powerful this blood of Christ is? See, some of y'all holding on to God, relying upon your strength. And a baby hanging over the cliff, trying to hold on from perishing with their strength, is certainly going to fall. But a baby who got their arm wrapped into the hand of the master will never fall. Never fall. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. Who could pluck him? God said, I'd like to see it. Who can pluck him? Who can? Nobody. Somebody say forever. You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. But somebody say forever. That's how long we serve him. Somebody say forever. That's how long this thing is. It's not a style, a fad, a fashion. Somebody say forever. That's how long we in this thing till, Brother Bryce. Somebody say forever. Till I close my eyes and give my final breath. That's how long I'm a servant, Mike. Somebody say forever. Oh yeah, though all the world turn their back on him. That's how long I'm a servant. Somebody say forever. Oh yeah, Grace Annalise Omar. That's right. Your daddy's here declaring that though heaven and earth pass away, though the mountains be removed, though the seas dry up, how long we gonna serve him? Forever. That's what he was waiting for from the people. That nobody will steal our love or prostitute our love or erode our faith. This is not a daily thing. This is a forever thing. And when I close my eyes and I die and I open them on the other side and I see them nail-scarred hands reaching down to me, telling me, welcome, son. Guess how long I'ma serve him? How long? Because when I'm in glory, I'ma sing. And when I'm in glory, I'ma praise. How long? That's how long we gonna do it, y'all. That's how long. For I am forever perfected by his blood. If you are here tonight and you heard the word of God tonight, it might have been convicting. It might have been rubbing you the wrong way. I'm not here to make a friend tonight. I'm here to make disciples. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you found yourself in this world, a part of the enemies of Christ, please, I beg you, with all of me, don't remain an enemy. Don't remain an enemy. Flee to the cross. Listen, the world is surrounded by Christ. The battle is already won. His army is just waiting to come in. He has a siege around the world. All of his angels all around. But before he invades, he's telling everybody through loudspeaker, through leaflets, he's dropping in to the city that's about to burn. He's saying, flee Sodom, flee Gomorrah, flee Babylon, flee, flee. And on the pamphlet tonight, hallelujah, he's telling you, if anybody surrender, they will get a full reprieve, a full pardon. Though they were with the enemy, if they surrender now, there will be no consequences unto you. You can go from enemy to friend in one moment with one surrender if you just come out with your hands up. Listen. If you're here tonight, if you're here tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I want you to say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you, God. I don't want to be your enemy. I want to be your friend. I want to be on your side. I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for all my sins. I believe he was buried, but on the third day he rose with all power. Lord Jesus, save me, wash me, make me perfect in the eyes of the Most High God. Fill me with your spirit and use me for your glory. Forever. Forever. Forever, Lord. Till I'm old and gray. Forever, Lord. Till I close my eyes. I'll serve you.
I'll serve you.
Forever. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his face upon you, be gracious unto you, and bless you with shalom peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.